Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 353 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week I'm joined by Jeremy Soni, playwright of Ichabod, Missing in Sleepy Hollow, which is going to be performed in Nashville by the Class Act Dramatics, which is part of Street Theater Company. And we're going to get in our discussion with Jeremy about the play and playwriting and such after these brief messages. Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them, and they don't all play in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
Well, IDSers, I'm joined by playwright Jeremy Soni, and we're going to talk about his play Ichabod, Missing in Sleepy Hollow, which is being done here in Nashville at Street Theater Company by their youth program, which is Class Act Dramatics, I do believe. So, welcome, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Got some caffeine in me, and I'm feeling fine.
Caffeine's a good thing.
So, first time on the show, so give us the reader digest of who Jeremy Soni is, and then we'll talk about the play and what's going on with that.
Oh, the reader's digest. Oh, so the short version. All right. Well, I'm a playwright. I'm from Ohio. That's the really short version. But
a little bit longer than that. An extended reader digest. No, how did you become involved with? First, was it Ingram New Works first here in Nashville? How did you get involved in the Nashville area?
Well, that's a good question. I just got done studying playwriting at Ohio University. I just got my MFA just a few months ago, actually.
Well, congratulations!
So I've been doing that for the thank you. I've been doing that for the last 3 years. Uh-huh. And one of the people I met in that program was a man named Garrett Snyder, who's also a writer, and he is in the Nashville area. He went to the program before me. I met him when I was scouting programs. He's a great guy. Talked up the program. Told me I should, you know, go to the program. It's going to be do great things. And he was right. So we kept in touch ever since. And sometime earlier this year, while I was finishing up school, he posted some stuff on Facebook about Street Theater Company and Playhouse Nashville, that they were looking for somebody to adapt The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, and that they were having this writing contest. And I thought, you know, I love The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. That could be interesting, and that's kind of how it all started.
Cool. Now, what makes your version of this story different, I guess, than traditional stories, the traditional version?
Yeah. I decided, as much as I love The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, you know, it's been done kind of to death. It has. I mean, it's a good story, and, you know, there's a Headless Horseman, there's a chase, it's a lot of fun, and that's all, you know, there's still a chase and a Headless Horseman in my version, but the things about The Legend of Sleepy Hollow always fascinated me, was what happened to Ichabod Crane. And there are like, just two things at the end of Sleepy Hollow. For anyone who's never read it, spoiler alert, Ichabod Crane disappears.
Who hasn't read that story? I don't understand that.
There's probably like somebody, I don't know.
There's the one guy.
Somebody out there just went, I can't believe he gave away the ending to the play.
Well, now he doesn't have to read it.
But, you know, at the end of the Legend of Sleepy Hollow, the Headless Horseman takes Ichabod Crane, or maybe it's Brown Bones. There's this question at the end that, you know, it could have been the Headless Horseman. It could have been Brom playing a massive prank on his rival over Katrina. And then there's the whole thing with Katrina Van Tassel where, you know, Washington Irving says everything about everything that Ichabod thinks while he's in Sleepy Hollow for that whole story, like what he thinks about the food, what he thinks about everybody, except the moment he talks to Katrina about how much he likes her, that part of the conversation is not in the story. He just says, oh, well, they talked and then he left. And I don't think it went well because he looked mad, but I don't know what they said, which I always thought was interesting. I'm like, you've had everything in this story. I know like what he thinks of like the dust on the table, but you won't tell me what Katrina said to him. So those two questions have always been the things I wanted to answer. So I approached it and I said, you know what? I want to know what Katrina said, and I want to know what really happened to Ichabod Crane that night. And I started writing from the end of the story. Mm-hmm. My the Ichabod missing in Sleepy Hollow picks up after Ichabod goes missing. So the story starts right after Ichabod has gone missing. A new school teacher comes to town to take his place, Abigail Seymour, and the students are all talking about Ichabod, and the Headless Horseman has come to take him, and they're very excited about the ghost and the Headless Horseman, and she wants nothing to do with ghost stories. She just wants to come in and teach them their arithmetic and all their lessons until she has her own run-in with the Headless Horseman and then realizes that perhaps what happened to Ichabod might happen to her because now the Headless Horseman seems to have found a new target and her and the students decide they need to solve the mystery and figure out what happened to Ichabod before it happens to her and see if they can stop it.
Cool. Now, how involved in the overall process have you been with the kids and Street Theater Company? Has this been where you've been able to be in part of rehearsals, or are you kind of, because you're based in Ohio, that you, it's kind of forced you to let go of it a little bit?
A little bit more of the latter. It's been more like an email exchange, a lot of email. I did get down there for a rehearsal. It was really great. Coincidentally and conveniently, at the same time that I found out about Ichabod, I also found out that I was asked to be part of the Tennessee Repertory Theater's Ingram's New Works Lab for this year. So I'm actually working with Class Actromatics, and then I'm also working with Tennessee Rep on a completely different project for the next year. And I was in town for both of them at the same time. I come down to Nashville now once a month to work with Tennessee Rep, and wonderfully it worked out that I was able, when I came down for that, that I was able to stay for an extra day. I went to rehearsals. I got to meet the kids and met Elena, the director, who's wonderful. I don't know how she directs that many children at once. I think she's a saint. She is. They're the best kids. They're so well behaved. And it was a lot of fun just seeing a little bit of it. And it was great because I haven't seen anything since, and I'm coming down next week to see the show on closing night. And it's pretty exciting to just kind of let go and let them take it. And then I get to come down and see what they do with it. So I'm really excited.
Oh, cool. Cool. Now, as you wrote this piece, you knew obviously it was going to be for children, right?
Yes. I knew that children would be performing it. The contest asks for a play to be performed by a youth, a youth troupe. So I knew that children would be performing it.
So, I don't imagine it would alter how you approached writing the story you wanted to write all that much, but were there any sort of like, not issues is probably too strong, but is there any sort of things that you had to be aware of while writing your story?
A little bit. I definitely made sure I watched watch the language. Some of my plays don't have children friendly language. So that was, but you know, in fact, my last play didn't at all. And there's an entirely different interview I did where I got asked why my characters talk the way they do. and studies brought up about Ohioans and the way we speak.
Wow.
But the biggest issue, I think, for me, but it was fun, it was a good issue, was just remembering in not only writing for children to perform it, I had to remind myself that there would probably be a youth audience watching it. Mm. And I think children are, children want to be entertained. Mm. And as writers, sometimes we hide behind pretty language and words, and adults say, oh, that was really beautiful in terms of, you know, what was being said. But, you know, maybe just two people sitting in a room saying pretty, pretty words. And children, you know, they want things to happen. So it really made me aware of, you know, keeping the story going and keeping it exciting and just finding ways to make it fun. So as I was writing it, I just kind of thought, you know, if I was like a 12-year-old, you know, would I find this entertaining? So it actually kind of really helped keep the story fun.
Well, cool. Now, as we record this on Friday, it is our opening night. This episode will go live on Monday. So for those interested, they have next Friday the 11th and Saturday the 12th to see the show as we are going live here on the Monday preceding. So their shows at 7 p.m., two shows on Saturday, 2 p.m. and 7 p.m., streettheatercompany.org for tickets, or you can get tickets by calling 615-554-7414. You are also part of Ingram New Works project. Just briefly, how is that going? How is that going? Let's just start there.
It's going wonderfully. I mean, we've had one meeting. Basically, it was like the first day of school. I met the other playwrights. I met the artistic staff and the staff there at Tennessee Rep. And they're just wonderful people. It's exciting. Right now, we're all working on our first kind of set of pages, and we're coming back. Actually, it worked out very well. I'm coming down for both things. I'm coming down to see Ichabod, and while I'm in town, I'm going to be meeting up with the other playwrights and some actors there at Tennessee Rep, and it's going to be an exciting weekend of theater.
Cool. And so if anybody wants to find out more about you, they can go to jeremysoney.com, correct?
Yes, they can.
All right. Well, thank you so much for stopping by today and chatting. I look forward to seeing both plays, hopefully, that you're working in Tennessee.
I know.
So.
Thank you for having me and talking about Ichabod. I'm really excited about it. I think it's a fun play for the whole family. I know I sound like a marketing pitch, but no, it really is. I had a lot of fun writing this play, and I think people are going to have a lot of fun watching it. And they're working really hard at Class Act Dramatics, so I hope people come out and see it and give those kids a good audience.
Oh, outstanding. And the ticket information I mentioned earlier, IDSers, can be found on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Well, thank you, Jeremy. We'll talk soon, and maybe we'll have you, hopefully we'll get you back on when we get closer to the Ingram New Work stuff. How's that sound?
That sounds great. Great talking to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right.
When guests can't appear in studio, they are interviewed over Skype. Skype is a great piece of software that turns your computer into a phone. Talk computer to computer or to any phone or cell phone in the world through the Skype Out program. Interested? Download Skype via inexplicabledumbshow.com. Just look for the Download Skype button. Go ahead. Join in the fun.
All right, so that's it. I'd like to thank Jeremy Soney for stopping by today and chatting about Ichabod, Missing in Sleepy Hollow, which is presented in kind of a partnership between Playhouse and Nashville Street Theater Company as part of their Class Acts Dramatics program. So if you want to go out and support young actors, and these kids are talented, go out and see, support them and see what's happening in this family-friendly, spooky sort of tale of Ichabod, Missing in Sleepy Hollow. So, one more weekend as this goes live on Monday. Three more performances: Friday at 7 p.m., Saturday 2 p.m., and again at 7 p.m. So again, Ticket information will be on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. And if you want to be part of the Dumb Show, please do so by calling 615-866-1282 or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com, or follow the show on Twitter @inexplicableds, @inexplicableds. Next week, we're going to hopefully get our wild on as we talk a little Tennessee rep and we talk a little the importance of being earnest. So until next week, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. .com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.